you please turn to Philippians chapter 4 for a Bible reading? Reassessing what I said in the announcements, I don't think I should speak on behalf of Abby on how many flowers she gets. My wife didn't rouse on me. She didn't say anything. This is all coming from me. If you want to send flowers, do so. She might like to be cluttered with them. So yes, just making that clear. Philippians chapter 4. Let's read from verse 1 to verse 9. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syntyche that ye be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which laboured with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow labourers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that, Lord, you know every trial and temptation that we have to face. You know what it's like as our Saviour to have a body the way we do, and the trials that go through that we have to go through because we have this flesh. And Lord, as we stop and consider the thoughts of our heart and mind and your desires to help us in this area, Lord, your word will be the one that teaches, your spirit will be the one that illuminates, and that you would use me as well in this process. And so we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I suspect you would agree with me that in the church's history, no other time has the world had a greater influence on a Christian's mind. You know, you try and think of what it would have been like in Paul's day compared to us. In Paul's day, there was no TV or the advertisement that was on there, no radios. When people were travelling, they weren't listening to their radio, or in the chariot, they weren't turning on the radio, or at home, have a radio going. No CD players or phones to listen to music. They didn't go out of their house and see a whole bunch of junk mail with all these things that they could buy. They didn't have shopping centres where they could go and buy those things that they've just seen. No computers where they can get onto the internet and listen to just about any preacher in the world, look at anyone and see what their opinion is on everything in this world. They didn't have any of this. Could you imagine how less cluttered your mind would have been in the days of the Apostle Paul? The influence on your mind back then, in those days, would have been minute compared to the influence that we get today. But what's very important or interesting to note is, even though the influence on a Christian's mind was minute compared to what it is today, we see here that there was still a need for a Christian to guard their mind with the worldly influences and sinful thoughts around them. which should make it very obvious to us, if they have to guard their mind and the thoughts that would come because of the influence back then, well, then surely us in the world that we live in today have to be extra careful, because the influences would be far greater. And we can be sure that the information that we receive today and the things that can mould our mind and influence our thoughts can have a good, a positive influence or a negative. And we can be sure that the God of this world will use these things to extend his kingdom of darkness. You can be very sure of that. And he will use these means to destroy a Christian's mind so they can't think the way that the Lord intended us to think. Because he knows very well that a person's mind has an enormous influence on their actions. Satan knows that. I think he knows it far better than what we do. And so he's going to try and influence the way that we think. And so it should be no surprise to us that the Christian's mind is an important battlefield. A battlefield that where we need to have strongholds. Otherwise, we will have no hope of enjoying the peace that God promises, the joy that God promises, that holy way of life that he promises, and that desire to have a rich love for our Saviour. If we don't guard our mind in this way, we won't get to enjoy those things. And since there are so many worldly influences bombarding our minds today, it's no surprise that even Christians are full of anxious thoughts, full of sad, depressive thoughts, full of lustful thoughts, full of thoughts of discontentment and covetousness and anger and rebellion, and the list goes on. You would like to think, oh yeah, that's the world's way, because that they don't have the Holy Spirit and God helping, yet we all know it's still a problem for Christians as well. Yet here in Philippians, God gives us a guideline of what we should allow into our mind and what we should think on and allow to influence us so that we can enjoy the peace of mind that God promises to the believers. Here the Lord says, he will keep our heart and mind if we do certain things. So there's a promise here for us from God. He says there in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, this is it, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Our heart, talking about our feelings, our mind, talking about our thoughts, he says, shall keep. That word keep is a military term, and it has the idea of guarding or protecting. And so God says that his peace will stand on guard and protect our feelings, protect our thoughts if we do certain things. And I couldn't think of anything better to have guarding my feelings and thoughts than the peace of God. And so this is what he's promised if we do certain things. And the key thing for us is found in verse 8, where it says, think on these things. He wants us to think on certain things. You know, we all know that there are so many things or people out there fighting for our thoughts and our mind. Let me do a little test on you to see how it has influenced you. When you're hungry, what do you think of? I think of McDonald's when I'm hungry. It's worked. When you are thinking about buying toothpaste, Colgate wants you to think of them. When you need to buy tyres for your car, I think of Goodyear. It's a Goodyear when you have Goodyear. on there, and so on, right? They know that they can influence our mind. That's a fact. And Satan wants us to think on what he has to offer when we have a need. God says, every need that you have, I have provided something for you. Yet Satan says, when you have a need, I want you to choose what I have provided for you. And so he uses the world and the various things in the world to influence us so we will think on the things he has to offer. The fact is, we can be influenced. That's why companies spend a fortune in advertising. Another fact is, we can train our mind on what to think on. Fact is, we can build up habits. We can build up godly habits and thinking on godly things. But the opposite is, we can build up ungodly habits where we always seem to go down that path as well. And what we train our mind to constantly think on will make all the difference between enjoying God's promise of peace or not. That's the key. And so we need to play our part. And in Philippians 6-8, we're given the process of how to enjoy God's help to protect our mind in this crazy world. And so that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. First thing we notice from verse 6 is that we're told to cast down what I would call crazy thinking. It says, be careful for nothing. Don't allow the wrong thoughts to come in. Don't let yourself get anxious and scared over anything. Now, that alone is not probably enough to build a doctrine or to prove that this is what God's saying. But we know that there are other key verses in the scriptures. The best one is 2 Corinthians 10. It's worth going over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. And if you want to have victory in your mind, this is a very good verse to learn, to have on call, to bring up as a good thought and a reminder of what God has said about your thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5 says, casting down, that word there means demolishing, destroying imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so the Lord's told us to bring every thought into obedience to him. We're to compare our thoughts with the standard that God has for our way of thinking as a child of God, and we are to be obedient to the Lord and only allow ourselves to think on those things that are pleasing to him. If God says this is the standard and something exalts itself above God, we're to destroy it. And the fact that he tells us to do this shows us we can do it. God never tells us to do something we can't do. We see here we just can't let our mind run down any road it wants. There are some thoughts that God wants us to get hold of and destroy. A lot of men here like to go hunting. If you like hunting, well, I'll encourage you to go hunting for wrong thoughts and destroy them. Don't worry about going shooting any kangaroos or rabbits. Work on destroying those wrong thoughts, first of all. Seek them out. Compare it. If it's not what God wants, I'm going to eliminate you first. That would be far more profitable for any man than shooting a kangaroo. Or anything else, I might add. Not that I don't like shooting things. All right, I'll just put it out there. We see in verse 8, as we'll go on, we'll see that means things like, we would eliminate things like, what if? That destroys a lot of people's mind. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if they did that? What if that? Or the, I must have this. Or the thoughts of, I can't live without that. Or, it is not fair. This is not fair. As well as immoral thoughts, greedy thoughts, bitter thoughts, and so on. A Christian, as Christians, we don't have the license to think on whatever we want. As Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Just as that soldier was to tuck in his tunic, so to speak, so it doesn't trip him up in battle, we, in our warfare against the evil one, need to tuck in our thoughts so our thoughts don't trip us up. Too many are being tripped up by their thoughts because they just allow their thoughts to go wherever they want and they think on whatever they want. And I can tell you with all authority from God's word, if you're here full of angry thoughts or anxious thoughts or bitter thoughts or immoral thoughts, there is one thing I can be sure of, and that is you're not bringing your thoughts into captivity as God said. You haven't tucked in your thoughts and been sober-minded, saying, I will make sure I control what I'm thinking as well. You've been disobeying God in this very vital area. And what I can guarantee is you're not sitting here with the peace of God that passes all understanding, because they go hand in hand. So the first step to enjoying God's peace is to cast down the wrong thoughts. Find them out and start casting them down. Now, that's just not the end. There are various things we need to do to cast them down. But secondly, we're told to hold on to the correct way of thinking. It says there, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Here we see that the right way of thinking starts by making your prayer to God. And so you go to God and pray, but you just don't go and talk to God about anything. You don't even just go and talk to God about your thoughts. That's where the supplication is. You go and ask God for help in this area. Where you say to God, Lord, I've been allowing these wrong thoughts to be in my mind and remain in my mind, and I've been meditating on them, and I need your help to overcome them. And what praying to the Lord does is show that you acknowledge that you need His help. And you can't do it without Him, and you're willing to do it His way. Oftentimes that's our biggest mistake. We tried to do it without Him, or we do it our way. We know that's how we are programmed in our sin nature, because that's how it happened at the very beginning. When Adam and Eve sinned and they discovered their nakedness, their mind said, we need to fix this problem ourselves. And so what did they do? Instead of going to God for help, they went and they tried to fix their problem with leaves, making their own leaves to cover up their nakedness and shame. Yet when God came along, He made them a better covering. And He did it for them. We need to see that worrying and that endless churning in our mind about things are basically our fig leaves as we busily try and solve the problem ourselves. We are busily trying to cover our sin in some way. And we try to cover that hurt in some way, in our own strength. And we're trying to get rid of something by churning it over in our mind, but what we're actually doing is we're reinforcing it. I need to go over what that person said about me again. And you go over it. And that's where you get resentment from, that resentment. So when you think of something, you get that feeling again. And so if someone has said something bad and you think about it again, you get that same bad feeling, that hurtful feeling as you got the first time. But if you think about that for 100 times, you're getting that same feeling 100 times. And it just reinforces those sad feelings. That's what resentment's all about. And that's only going to end when we stop striving in our own flesh. Come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help to cope with what this person did, what this person said, or what's happening here in this circumstance or whatever. I need your help. That's the first thing. Then there is a giving of thanks. People say, well, the giving of thanks here is to thank the Lord for the answer that he's going to give. And I'm not going to say that's wrong. But I think it's much further than that, where it is thanking God for what he has done in the past. It is reminding yourself that here is a God that has already been good to me. He has helped me in the past. I thank you for those times. I thank you for answering prayers in the past. I thank you for the promises that you have made, where you won't allow me to be tempted above what I'm able to. That I am more than a conqueror through you who love me. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Thank you for that promise that you will give grace to me when I'm weak. And what this does is it fills your thoughts with the understanding that you have a great God. You just do that alone, and I'll tell you what, you'll stop thinking about what's been churning over in your head, and you'll be starting to think about God, and that brings you hope of victory. We need to start filling our thoughts with the Lord and then dwell on the right things. And this is where verse 8, we're given a guideline for what to dwell on. This is the filter. What to have as our habit to think on. And you know, this is a very good way to see if your thoughts this week have actually been thoughts that you ought to be having. You know, you come here today, and I don't know the condition of your heart, but I'll guarantee that the condition of your heart has a lot to do with what you've been allowing yourself to think on this week. And if you're here really annoyed with your wife or your husband, I'll guarantee it's because you've been allowing yourself to dwell on all the negative things about your wife or husband. Right? If you're here and you're really angry with someone at work, and I'll guarantee it's because you've been allowing yourself to dwell on those things that they might have said or done to you. You're really sad because of something that happened to you 5 years ago, and you're ridiculously sad today. I'll guarantee it's because you're still allowing yourself to think of it this week. All right? That's how it happens. And so this is a good filter to know if there's some things that you need to go hunting, to cast down and destroy and demolish out of your mind. Because it's the mind that is the battlefield, and it affects everything. And Paul gives us a list of qualities that must be associated with what we think on. Whatsoever things are. This is the filter. Let's go through them just quickly. It says there, whatsoever things are true. You know, I think you could nearly stop here and just get this sorted out, and it would fix up a lot of our problems, a lot of the what-ifs. You know, you might say, well, I don't think on lies. Well, you might. But what about suspicions? What about speculation? What about those things that may be true or not true? You know, that person looked at me in a strange way. I wonder if they're not happy with me. I think they're not happy with me. I don't think they like me. The way that they were looking at me while they were talking to that person, they're probably talking about me. I knew that person didn't like me. Oh no, that person doesn't like me. Do you know that person doesn't like me? All this trouble in your mind for something you suspect is true. But you don't know it's true. And that can go through just about everything in life. Often we think on things that are half true, things we suspect to be true, and it troubles our mind to no end. If we only stick to truth and think on those things, that will eliminate the what ifs, a lot of the I'm not sure, and so on. But if we go on and say honest is an word honest there can be used in various ways. It's translated grave when referring to deacons. Deacons are to be grave. That means noble, solemn, majestic. You know, the opposite of that is sort of gutter talk, gutter thoughts. We're not to allow our thoughts to slosh around in the gutter, to get a laugh or to get some entertainment. Our thoughts should be of a higher nature, not grubby. Just, says there, whatsoever things are just or righteous, right? Things that are pure in that sense. Not thoughts that would make us cheat, lie, steal, or act in an unjust way, but thoughts that would cause us to act righteously. Pure. I think this is a pretty easy one to work out. There are so many influences, so much advertisement, so many things that would plant impure thoughts into our mind, where it is easy to start dwelling on those things. If we could get rid of all untrue thoughts and impure thoughts, I think a lot of our minds would be a lot more at ease. There is one that will always be pure. It says, and every man that hath this hope, that is the coming of Christ, in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And then it says, lovely. You know, there's so many things that are lovely, but God has given us a lot of lovely things in this world to enjoy. To the flowers, to the birds, to the animals, to all of his creation, the stars. There are so many things that are just simply lovely that we can dwell on. There are things of a good report. That means it's not a false report. I guess if we wanted to do it modern term, not fake news. right? It's truth, not fake. Virtuous, that is of a moral standing. And praise, this is a good one. If there are any praise. You know, too often when we think of someone, our mind will go directly to the negative, where we will find something to condemn them about or criticize them about, rather than find something to praise them about. And you know, that is something you've got to train your mind to do, and you have to keep practicing it. Because in our sin nature, we are like, you've got movie critics, you've got play critics, you know, people will go and make their assessment and they're very good at finding all the wrong things. Well, you need to be someone that finds the positive things. If someone does a job, instead of saying, yeah, well, but they did miss that one little thing that they probably should have done as well, find all the positive things that they did. Find praise, things to praise people with, rather than be negative. And so that's a good little screening verse. One to test. And whatsoever passes Philippians 4:8, think on it. If something doesn't pass, don't think on it. If it doesn't pass, well, then you destroy it. You know, I like this way of explaining it. If you've never been to an airport, you won't know what I'm talking about. But if you've been to an airport, you'll know that once you get off the plane, if you've got luggage, you go down and then you wait on that big carousel thing that I guess it's called a carousel. But it goes around and you wait there, and then all of a sudden all these bags start popping out. And you're looking for your bag. And there's bag after bag after bag. There could be hundreds of bags just popping out, and then they go and then they disappear and then they come out again. And you can stand there and you can see how there's really weird looking bags. Why would someone have a bag like that? And then you see these real grotty looking bags. You think, oh. And then you see these beautiful bags and you think, I wouldn't mind getting that bag. You know, that's a nice bag. And then you might see a bag and you think, oh, that's mine. And you pick it up. Oh, no, it's not. Just looks a lot like mine. So you put it back and you send it on its way, but you wait for the bag. And the fact is you don't have any control over what bags come out of that conveyor belt. The only thing you have control of is what you take off the conveyor belt. You know, our mind is a lot like that. Thoughts go around and around in our head all day. Most of the time, we have no control of what appears in our mind. You can be walking along, having lovely thoughts, and then the next moment, a jealous thought just drops in your head. It's like it comes out from behind the chute, and it's on the conveyor belt. And then a lustful thought comes along, then an angry thought, and then you think of a friendly thought. And you think of some really weird thoughts. You think, why am I thinking about that? That is so weird. And then a pointless thought. I wonder how many specks of dirt are on my floor at the moment. You know, something ridiculous, all right, that doesn't really matter. And so there's thought after thought after thought. We can't stop those thoughts. But it's our choice if we're going to pick up that thought and dwell on it for the day. And that's where Philippians 4:8 comes into being. You're there, it's like the conveyor belt in your mind, and a thought pops up. That's a jealous thought. That's not a good thought. I'm going to let that one go by, and I'm going to grab another thought. You can have pre-planned thoughts. They're good ones to have. I'm going to think on this instead. And then another one comes by. That's a dirty thought. No, I'm going to just let that one go by, and I'm going to think on this instead. Or you might find that you've picked up a thought, I need to put that back and I need to replace it with something else. That's what God is saying here. You think on the good things. Our problem is often we grab a thought and we know it's wrong, but we take it off and we start thinking on it all day and we dwell on that. We take a thought, maybe an angry thought, and we keep it and we chew over it. We meditate on that. When God says to meditate on other things. And then we go to bed that night, we wake up, and what's the first thing that comes on the conveyor belt? That angry thought again. And so we pick it off, and we start thinking of it again. Till you find that just about any thought that's coming out of that conveyor belt are angry thoughts. Like every bag looks the same. That's where the habits start to come. You know, sometimes we need to realize there's some bags we've been holding on to or thoughts and we need to throw them back on, send them. And we need to start grabbing the good things. So my question to end today isn't what thoughts pop into your head. Because we all have probably the same types of thoughts. Some are good and some are bad. It's not what types of thoughts pop into your head, but which thoughts have you been grabbing off the conveyor belt and taking for the day? Are there thoughts you need to put back on the conveyor belt and train yourself to stop picking them up? Well, Philippians 4:8 is a good filter to make sure that you're only going to grab a thought that's true or honest or just or pure and lovely, good report. And if you find, hey, I'm just carrying around this bitterness thought for days on end, you need to get rid of it, put it on, and replace it with a good thought. Now, that is just real basic practical living. But I tell you what, this is God's word. It's not psychology in that sense. It is God's word. This is what he wants us to be thinking on. And it changes the way we see everything in life when we do that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we have the ability to think and assess and to meditate and, Lord, dwell on whatever we want. Yet, Lord, with that wonderful privilege comes, Lord, a lot of expectation. And, Lord, we can really hurt ourselves if we're not wise. Pray that through your strength, you will help us to think on those things that are pleasing to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.